Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of January 16th, 2017. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very good, D.R. So, D.R., the Trumpocalypse is bearing down on us. There are all kinds of stuff going on. Many people have an increasing level of anxiety and want to make their voices heard. And it's very difficult in the modern age. I mean, you can get on Facebook or Twitter and send something out into cyberspace. But there's a certain satisfaction in being with thousands of other people who share your views. And I think that this coming weekend on Saturday, there is an opportunity, actually both Saturday and the following Tuesday, there's opportunities in Boston area for people to make their voices heard. And so I got the chance to talk to Carol Oldham, who is the executive director of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, the woman who makes the world go round at MCAN. And we talked a little bit about the Boston's Women's March for America that's coming on Saturday the 21st, and a lobbying day that's happening on January 25th. So I thought we could throw that tape in and take a listen, and maybe you and I can discuss it, okay?
Sure.
All right, here we go. So hi, Carol. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, very good. So events are moving forward. Tell me, what's going on downtown with MCAN that people can get involved in?
Well, we've got two things that people can get involved in. And for anybody who's, feeling discouraged by the turn of national events, there are two things. One is Saturday, the 21st. There's going to be the Boston Women's March for America. So for folks who can't make it to the big DC march and rally, we're going to have one here in Boston of our very own. And we actually, there are thousands of people signed up. It's the biggest sign up of any of the marches in the U.S.
Go so Boston.
It's very exciting. Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be, we're going to actually have a climate and environment section. And you can sign up if you Google Boston Women's March for America. You can sign up. We talked about this a little bit last week, but you can sign up as an MCAN person. You can come and get a cup of hot cocoa at our office and
in the office, one of our banners. I would guess that probably the place where people are going to be collecting is down near the Park Street Station, probably.
Yeah.
And the MCAN offices are within a short walking distance of that. So it's
And
it's a much easier place to find people to go to the MCAN office.
Yes. That's what we figured, is that there are going to be thousands and thousands of people milling around in the cold. So why don't we meet at our office and then we can go down with everybody else?
And how do the people who sign up find out where the office is?
So if they send me an email, and it's Carol Oldham at massclimateaction.net, and let me know that I should hold them a cup of hot cocoa, then I will send them the office address and work out all the logistics with them.
Super, super, super. Well, that's great. So again, January 21st, I'll put a link up to the to the site, but also if you just Google Boston Women's March for America, you'll find it. Online sign up for the march and let Carol know that you're coming and you get yourself a cup of globally warmed coffee. Warm coffee, right? Excellent.
Yes. And then also actually what we've got is on the 25th, there's going to be a lobby day at the State House. So this can feel super intimidating and people can, you know, get really sort of nervous about it and whatever. This one is going to be like for everybody who's never done this before and doesn't really know what to say or who to say it to or how to say it. So this is like we're going to do a whole training ahead of time. This is part of the Mass Power Forward mm-hmm. Coalition's work. So we're going to be going and talking to folks in the State House about gas leaks, about gas pipelines, about solar, about the renewable portfolio standards. So all of the things that you and I have been talking about for a couple of years mm-hmm. now, and which our state legislature needs to really show some leadership on. And they have shown leadership on clean energy, obviously. But, you know, with right. the national picture looking the way it is, it's even more pressing. So we will train folks. We will give them packets. So we'll
talk
to them about
how to do the training. If someone is feeling, they support the renewable portfolio standards, and they just found out what the acronym stands for, and they're right. a little, they like it, but they're a little shaky. There's going to be what, an hour's worth of, just talk about how to meet your legislator and maybe some script of brief talking points, right?
Yeah. So basically you'll have something that you can leave with their office. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go probably in a group with mm-hmm. any luck, because there will probably be several people from your district that will be coming. And we'll just kind of talk you through who you're having the conversation with, how to have the conversation with them. You know, a lot of times it'll be their staff, mm-hmm. but, you know.
And the staff is not going to expect a lobbyer to be an expert, right?
Right,
so
right.
That's a magic thing. I think people get scared, think they have to know all the backup points and the
right.
ups and downs. That's not what the deal is.
It is not at all. What they care about is the fact that you care about this. And that is true of the legislator or their aide. Mm-hmm. And if they ask a question that you don't know the answer to, which they probably won't, honestly. I mean, I could, and you know, I have done this professionally at the federal level. And the number of times that I've been asked a question, you know,
right,
is minimal.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it really is what they want to know is who cares about this?
Right.
Why
right.
do you care about this? You know, right. and you can say like, this is something that's really important to me because of climate change right. or, you know, I want to leave a livable world for my grandchildren or whatever it is that really brings you there. But it's really not, it can feel really intimidating, but it's not, these are,
right.
and
right.
the other thing that I think is really important for folks to know is a couple of years ago, somebody from the League of Conservation Voters nationally had done this nationwide survey of state legislators saying how many people would need to come to your office to talk about an issue for it to really make a difference to you. And the guys, and basically when I saw him speak about this, he said, you'd be amazed. Most of them say two people.
Really?
They just don't hear from anybody.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
two people, if you and I go into somebody's office that they're there, our elected representative, and we say we care about this, it makes a huge impact.
I remember some state rep saying how most state reps walk around terrified that they're going to be blindsided by something they don't know in their district.
Right,
so anybody
right.
who shows up to talk to them, that's great
they're
information.
Thrilled. Yeah,
and
totally.
The other thing I would say is, I mean, I've done... I'm not professionally, but I mean, I've gone to these kind of events, and it's incredibly satisfying, right?
Yeah.
To go in and you feel much better, right? And
yep.
so that's, I would urge that on anyone who's thinking that they'd like to do this to go, because just emotionally, you feel like on top of the world, because you went and you spoke to the person, and you spoke your mind, and here's a person
right.
who has some ability to do something about it. So there you go.
Yep.
Well,
absolutely.
Okay. So again, remind us of the... The
so
sign up for the lobbying day.
Yeah, so everybody should definitely make a reservation. That's going to be on January 25th. And if you go to our website into the events section, you can RSVP there.
Right, and it's important to sign up because they need a, in the State House, they want a better head count, right? They're trying to keep track of things. So it's a very good thing to do.
Right. And it helps for us to know, like, okay, we've got 15 people from Boston, or we've got, seven people from Reading or whatever.
Because you're going to try and schedule appointments with different legislators. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we get two big things. We got the Boston Women's March for America on the 21st,
yep.
Saturday the 21st. We'll put up a link. go to that or go and get your coffee, your warm cocoa. And then on January 25th, you have the opportunity to actually lobby your member, state representative.
State legislator, that's
right. State legislator, all right. So, well, Carol, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. It's very informative. I look forward to seeing you at these events.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, there you go, DR. Have you ever lobbied anywhere?
Yes, and it's always an enjoyable experience.
So, tell me your experience. I mean, what did you do?
This is a number of years ago in terms of sort of clean energy legislation, and it's always great to speak to your elected officials and sort of basically have a one-on-one conversation with them so that everybody knows what you want as a constituent and what they're concerned about as an elected official.
Well, there you go. So it's pretty cool. Let me just say a couple things. One is I noticed in that tape, since I made Carol and I talked, it turns out that we're not going to meet at Park Street. I mean, that's not the official meeting place of where the red line comes above ground, but it's at this place called the Carty Parade Ground, which is at the corner of Charles and Beacon Street. And if you've ever parked in the Boston Common Underground Garage, which you may not want to try and do on the day of the march, but anyway, that place there where Charles Street cuts through the middle of the Common, it's at the Beacon Street end of that is where I think people are going to be rallying. So just to be clear on that. So DR, aside from the these two wonderful opportunities to do something coming up over the next couple of weeks, tell me what other stuff should people know about? What do we got to? What's the juiciest piece of news?
Well, one of the more interesting things was this article written by the outgoing President Obama, in I believe Science, the journal Science, basically describing what he called the unstoppable momentum of clean energy. And it was a wonderful, very, very well-written piece, basically detailing, the risks of climate change and the importance of clean energy and how corporations are embracing, clean energy, and how essentially there's so much momentum now that there's no way that what President-elect Trump will do can put a halt to it. Although there was a great article by David Roberts in response, basically suggesting that President Obama is being a bit too optimistic about what, federal action can do in terms of slowing down the momentum of clean energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I would not to be snarky, but you got to be optimistic to even try and run for president, right? So I would give the benefit of the doubt to Mr. Obama. But I agree with you. It is remarkable that, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Obama had plenty of help in writing that article. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the very fact that he has the intellectual capacity to even think that this would be a good idea. And my understanding is he's done this in several places. Right. He's done reviewed articles on health care and various other things. Mm-hmm. It is such to say it's such a contrast is understatement, right, to what we're getting. But you have to admire the guy. And he makes good points. I mean, really. It's very arguable that, coal, despite what everyone says, will not come back because, for better or worse, the price of natural fracked gas is lower, right? Just economics. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say you don't want, fracked gas is bad. So I'm not saying I don't agree with this thing about how natural gas is cleaner fuel, right? Mm-hmm. But still in all, you look at it and say, coal is not coming back, right? And you see all these reports how the price of solar panels and wind turbines is dropping very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in other parts of the world, right? Not in the U.S., but around the world, this is the future. And and once it's economically advantageous to use a solar panel, game's over, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It becomes, good business as well as good for the planet.
So I think that I would give Mr. Obama an A++ for writing this paper. It's just wonderful. But
as you bring up the grade, I couldn't help wondering, I don't know when specifically it was written, but if it was written after what I'm about to mention, you do wonder if this was on some level Obama's response to Jim Hansen in Rolling Stone magazine giving him a D on climate. And basically, you know, Obama making the point that, you know, he understood this issue and he tried to do what he could do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to the extent that he couldn't do more, that was because of political circumstances beyond his control. Yep. And perhaps, you know, Hansen shouldn't be judging him as harshly as Hansen did judge him due to those political circumstances that were out of his, that were beyond his reach, basically.
When I saw a paper that talked about how even Mr. Trump Putin, while he thinks he's going to do all this stuff, that actually the federal government's impact on energy policy is relatively weak. Did you see that paper? That somehow, it, you know, he may want, I mean, Obama wanted to do this stuff, but it's not presidential fiat. Right.
Yes, I saw that paper, and I think there was also a story in the New York Times recently about that as well. And it makes sense if you consider if you consider all the actions that are done at a state level, and look at the ban on fracking in New York State, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, and look at all the coal-fired power plants that were shut down during the George W. Bush administration. So there's a lot that can be done on a state and local level. And it's something that Michael Mann pointed out in his book, The Madhouse Effect, that you know, even absent the Clean Power Plan, state and local action can sort of reduce emissions. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see if it turns out that energy policy is beyond the short fingers of Mr. Trump.
The short-fingered vulgarian. Well, it's interesting. I mean, the many conservatives insist that on the 10th Amendment, that all the rights that aren't given to the federal government are reserved to the states. I think that may be put to test and may become a liberal, progressive kind of mantra now, when it turns out that clean energy policy can be executed at the state level and the feds can't really get in and do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. And there is tremendous speculation that you know, Trump and his team may try to go after state level action. And as we know, there was that recent decision by the state of California to bring in Eric Holder, the former attorney general, to basically defend what's being done at the states. We remember, again, going back to the George W. Bush administration, how Bush tried to fool around with what California was doing in terms of its own clean energy standards. I assume there will be a similar resistance this time around.
Wow. Interesting. I think that I guess the other thing, when we're talking about Mr. Obama and his public statements, I watched the farewell address with a lump in my throat. I mean, the guy is such a the kind of guy you want to be president. I mean, I just but he made strong statements in his farewell address about climate change, didn't he?
Yes, he said, quote, take the challenge of climate change. In just 8 years, we've halved our dependence on foreign oil, doubled our renewable energy, and led the world to an agreement that has the promise to save this planet. But without bolder actions, our children won't have time to debate the existence of climate change. They'll be dealing with its effects. And he went on to reaffirm a point that he made in, I believe, the 2013 State of the Union address, that, you know, we can debate the policy response, but you can't debate facts. You know, I think he said at one point in his speech that science and reason matter. And there's a pretty bold statement considering all the people for whom science and reason doesn't matter.
Well, and I think the other thing that Mr. Obama said in that speech, which is important, is how all Americans should be jealous guardians of democracy, right? Remember that? He went on, he said, you know, if you don't like your elected official, run for public office. And basically work with your neighbors on issues. I mean, in some sense, echoing the Mass Climate Action Network concept of local action to address climate change, right? So the president, in his farewell address, I'm sure it'll be up there with the Washington's farewell address. Yeah, he's saying, you know, get involved, do something. You know, whatever it is, do it on your own level, but do it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. I think that it was the old James Brown song where he talked about get up, get into it, and get involved, basically.
That's right. So, excuse me, DR, I think that we need to end our pleasant discussion, but I just want to remind everyone, we'll put up links to the Boston Women's March for America on the 21st. We'll put up a link for the Lobbying Day on January 25th. But I also want to remind everyone, I mentioned, I think, that I recently went into Cambridge to see Bill McKibben speak at a church in, yeah, the church in Cambridge, right? First Parish Church in Cambridge. Have you, I'm sure you've been there, DR. But I mean,
yes.
This is a place where Ralph Waldo Emerson preached, right? Emerson is in that room that you're sitting in, right? 150 years ago. It's just amazing, amazing stuff. But one of the things that Bill McKibben said is on April 29th, he said, mark your calendar. There's going to be an enormous climate protest in Washington, D.C., April 29th, right? So be there. We will have, I'll put up a link to some of that, but, you know, just get yourself ready. Mark it on the calendar. It's coming. So there you go, DR. We'll put up links to all this stuff in the blog that's associated with this podcast. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. When you find the live links there, you can go find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction and click through to the blog and to the SoundCloud player. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Overcast or any one of a number of other podcast providers. So we will close where we always close, DR, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon pollution. So thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.